1987, and it was named for its beautiful hilltop location.
Check. Good evening, everyone, live from the Conlin Center. Another night of NC2A Penguin basketball. Stuart Horn with you. Have the Swanee alongside in a moment. Patrick Davis be sitting in. Of course, Mike Temple will be here. And we're observing a moment of silence for one of the great Penguin coaches we lost this week.
Thank you. And now, let's meet the starting lineups.
And we'll bring you the starting lineups as soon as we get them. Of course, the referees for tonight's game sent down from the main offices of the NC2A are here to make sure this game gets off in a relatively fair fashion. No question about it. I'm bringing the starting lineups for the Hawks out of Holy Names under Omar Sanchez. And one of the things that people may not realize about Omar Sanchez is he was one of the great Hawks players back in the day. And bring in my partner for the first quarter of tonight's proceedings, the Swanee, Alex Swan. Hey, Swanee, how's it going?
Doing great, Stu. Second rivalry game tonight. I'm looking forward to it.
Penguin women squeaked out a great win just a few moments ago, about 20 minutes ago. And Omar Sanchez, I was just talking about, the head coach of the Hawks, one of the great Hawks in history. And it's nice to see a fine player like Sanchez, who really used to be a tremendous pain in the neck to the good old Dominicans, to go on to have a fine coaching career and keep the rivalry alive, really. The starting lineups for Omar Sanchez's Holy Names Hawks. Joshua Crum will get the start as the point guard. Crum, a sophomore at 5'11 out of Oakland. He'll be joined out there by the two guard, Curtis Ong, the 5'10 senior out of Fremont. Went to St. Ignatius High. Dalton Dale, a 6'3 junior out of Orange County, will be joined by Harold Perry, a 6'6 forward. The junior Perry is out of Rodeo, California. And Terrence Swain, not Terrence Swanee, although the spelling kind of looks like that. Terrence Swain is a 6'6", pardon me, 6'7" junior out of Gary, Indiana. Isn't that your hometown, Swanee?
Gary, of course, yeah. Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, I thought so. All right, fans, for the mighty DUs under Booker T. Harris, of course, Coach Harris is joined by Rich Mendoza and Kurt Bond, all three men in their third season. The Penguins, 9-5 in PacWest play after a tremendous road trip where they got past now number three Dixie State in Dixie's house, 3,000 people strong, and they got by him. Oh, man, what a game that must have been. Coach will be sending out Miles Carrillo, the 6-foot senior, out there with Dominic Taplin, another 6-foot junior. Hayes, Matt Hayes, a 6-foot-2 sophomore. Devin Golston, the 6'6 senior. And Connor Haysbert, the 6'8 senior. And we've got some great information on Haysbert and his academic achievements. In the middle for the Penguins is Golston. And he's going up against Swain. It's tipped out of bounds into media row. 1 second rolls off the clock. And with 19:59 to go, it's going to be Hawks ball. The Hawks, out of Holy Names, they play in the Tobin Gym, which only seats about 7,500 guys. I don't know if you've ever been over there, Swanee, but it's a very small little gym. And when the Penguins come to town, they have to they allow people in via lottery, if you can believe that. So all week long, students are trying to get tickets. The Hawks bring it in, attacking the northern rim off to our right side. And a zigzagging of the ball into the paint. Josh Crum, the 5'11 sophomore, drives it in. A strong drive left side of the paint for two. 19:23 to go in the first half. Worldwide on Penguin Radio. Broadcasting live from Dominican University of California. Left corner now. Golston works it down low to the big fella, Haysbert. Soft jumper. It bounces around and falls to a piece. 19 minutes to go.
He had a great road trip. Haysbert picking off right where he left off.
Bio major. Haysbert's got a full schedule, and he's able to improve his game. It seems like every game the Dominicans play. Every time they go on a road trip, they come back. Haysbert just gets better. 18:45 now. Hawks working the ball beautifully with just a ton of patience. And the right side, again, Crum. He went left side in the paint last time. This time he drifts across the key from the right, buries it, and draws the whistle. 4-2, Crum to the line. Crum, his bread and butter are those free throws. 5-2, Hawks. Right in front of us here at the opulent broadcasting area on Media Row, and Dominique Taplin. He gets it off to Miles Carrillo, who's having one of those seasons, fans. Carrillo started hot and has just continued to get better and better. The senior Carrillo, 18-19. Dom takes it in, left side, slips a little bit. It was a little bit deep. The putback was a combination of Devin Golston and Connor Haysbert. And even between those two sharpshooters, couldn't get it to go. Crum brings it up himself. It bounces off of his knee into the hands of Golston. Now the Penguins have numbers. Dom had it 5-on-3 as a couple of the Hawks got left in the backcourt. He stutter-stepped and was fouled, and that's one of those good fouls on the part of the Hawks, Swanee, where the Penguins had the numbers, and all the Hawks could do if they had the heads up was foul. They did so, and the Penguins get it back, but it allows the Hawks to reset both squads with one foul. Carrillo with a good head fake out on the right wing, too far out to shoot. 5-2 the Penguins trail, but the D's are attacking off to our left side. Johnny Bates from the right side fires off a three. Can't get it to go. Schoolyard bump play by Carrillo off of the legs of Crum, and it goes out of bounds. That is off the end line. Carrillo was falling out of bounds and had the presence of mind to bounce it out off of the knees of Crum. Didn't hurt Crum. Crum was just in the perfect position for Carrillo to bounce it out off of, and the Penguins get the ball back.
You called it schoolyard play at its finest right there.
Yeah, it really was. Inbounds Golston. Left corner, Taplin. Top of the key now. Between the circles, they'll reset. Golston's got it after the pass from Carrillo. Haysbert goes in strong from the baseline. And wait a minute. Oh, it was goaltending? Okay, so they credit the basket to Connor Haysbert. And they give the points to the Hawks, which is wrong.
That is certainly
wrong. It was 5-2. Haysbert got the bucket, and now it's 7-2. How can that be? Okay, now they're changing it. 5-4, fans. Our crack staff here on Media Row got the change. I'm happy to report. Crum's got it left side. Seems like Crum's doing all the work right now as he passes it off to Harold Perry, who drives in very aggressively. Little old Connor Haysbert hits the deck of the chicken wing. He comes up mystified, does Haysbert. I say little old Connor Haysbert, 230 at 6'8". 17:03 to go. So it was only kind of joke. As Haysbert then wants to have a word with the referee, as Haysbert likes to do.
He's got a case. He was outside the circle. He looks set. Perry went flying into him.
Yeah, you're right. He was outside of the restricted area. Here's Harold Perry from the line. It's a 5-4 game. Check it. Make it 6 now that Perry drains the freebie. Haysbert's going to come out between shots, and in for the DUs is Josh Ramirez. Ramirez, a 6'6" freshman out of Chino, down south. Not Chico, which is up north. 17:03. Perry fires off another one. It seems to rest on the rim forever and then falls out in favor of the Dominicans. 2-on-1, Carrillo's able to grab the rebound and get back and bring it up. Now he holds up the hang loose sign as if to call out the play. Omar Sanchez, the head coach for the Hawks, is really screaming at his guys as both squads are working right in front of the Hawks bench. 16:40 to go. The Penguins down by a pair. Golston, left wing with 8 on the shot clock. Now Carrillo has to reset. 5, goes over to the right side, 3, behind the back, 2, drains it on the way, and he does drain it. I was going to say an attempted drain. I kind of called it early.
Couldn't do it any better than that. Right before the shot clock expired, he was able to lay it in.
I felt clairvoyant. I felt it coming. As both squads transition to the other side, Curtis Ong, a 5'10 senior out of Fremont, drains a long three from 22. 9-6, the Hawks. Christopher Schwartz Edmiston gets ready to come in for the first time tonight. A terrible pass from Goldston from the right wing, intended for Bates under the bucket, overthrew him. The Hawks get it. Crum drives the other way and dishes off, no look into the corner, but not before he charged one of the DUs. Penguins will get it back. That's the second team foul committed by the Hawks. Out of Holy Names, Oakland, California, the Hawks. And it looks like we have immediate timeout. 15:52 to go. And I'll go to the Swanee for his game assessment thus far.
So far, I'm seeing Penguins getting quality shots, definitely dominating the boards. We saw Carrillo once he made that schoolyard play. Haysbert had a couple chances on the glass. And on the other side, Crum, very athletic. Perry, very athletic. But they really drive the ball hard, almost a little out of control. Penguins are doing a good job getting out of that restricted area. Carrillo drew the charge. Haysbert almost had one. That's good help defense so far by DU.
You're absolutely right. And with that goaltending call, Haysbert so far, and remember we're just 4:08 into the game, 2 for 2. That's a good sign. You always like to start strong.
Gets the confidence going.
That's absolutely right. A lot of players, it sets the tone for the rest of the night if they can have a strong beginning. Carrillo 1 for 1. On the other side, Crum 2 for 2. He started strong. 1 from the left, 1 from the right. And, of course, Curtis Ong buried that long tray ball. 9-6, fans. The Penguins trail in this one, where on paper the Penguins are favored. Holy Names 4-8 in conference play, while the good old Dominicans are 9-5. But so far, the Penguins trail by 3. Into the corner with a great pass by Dominic Taplin. They get it over to Schwartz Edmiston. Out on the right wing, here goes Carrillo for 3. Very short, taken down by Harold Perry. So far, Perry's making a big statement. Ong brings it up against Carrillo. That was some massive defense, but Ong was up to the task. Ong at 5'10", Carrillo the six-footer. 15:22 to go. And another three from the left wing by Perry. So Ong with a tray ball, Perry with a tray ball, and the Penguins are down by 6.
Same spot. You got to extend the defense out a little bit farther if you're the Penguins to get a handout and contest.
Edmiston now with 15 minutes exactly in the first half. Has it between the circles. He goes right side to Correa. Goldston is able to drive the lane from the left side. But Goldston didn't have a screen, but one of the Hawks was looking the other direction. Goldston was within about 6 inches of him. If the Hawks defenseman had just turned around, he probably could have knocked it out of his hands with an elbow. But as it turned out, he wasn't looking at him, and a very crafty little move there.
All comes down to awareness.
That's right, by Goldston, who has great court awareness. 14:53 to go. And the first free throw by Devin Goldston is a little bit short. Back to the bench for the DUs is Ramirez, and back in the game is Connor Haysbert. 14:53, and Goldston will have a chance to go again. He's on the line. Bennett the waist. Backspin, perfect. In the game for the Hawks is Carl Dorn, a 5'10 junior out of Sacramento. He went to Florin High School. I went to McClatchy High School up in Sacramento. I've never heard of Florin High. Of course, my days in Sacramento a long time ago, but Florin High, I wonder if that's south of town by Florin Road. I'm not sure. 14:40 to go. Here's a long jumper from the top of the key by Dalton Dale. An offensive rebound by Crum, who stops at the right elbow. Oh, he had a clean look and didn't take it. Instead, he intended the pass to Dalton Dale over in the left corner, and it goes out of bounds. Dew ball.
You called it. He had a look from about 15. He could have pulled up, maybe hit the jumper instead, tried to hit the backdoor cutter to Dale. A little too ambitious.
He pulled up. He did everything but let it go. He had the look, and he buckled with a pull-up. Penguins now on offense. 12-7 Hawks. Edmiston, top of the key, three ball, on the way, perfect!
With no Matt Hayes, Schwartz Edmiston's going to have to step up a little bit, and he's got one of the best looking strokes on DU.
You know, coming into his collegiate career, Edmiston came out of high school in California, the top scorer. That's all his resume claims. And after a long three ball falling out of bounds, Haysbert chased it out and decked one of the camera people. Well, she hit the deck, and I think the camera went with her. No, I don't know.
I don't blame her for hitting the deck.
Yeah, you don't want to get hit by Connor Haysbert. 6'8", 230. And he's going 30 miles an hour. Want to welcome in Patrick Davis, one of our communication students here. His first night on the air. He'll be adding a little color to the festivities. 13:37 to go. We'll hear from Davis in the next break. Carrillo, very aggressive play. Penguins take it in. Haysbert, baseline. He's stuffed. It looks like he was rejected by Terrence Swain, the 6'7 junior, with 13:27 to go. Penguins down by two. Coach Cornell Littlejohn is here behind Media Row, having come off a great women's victory tonight. They were leading by one with 40 seconds to go and held on for the victory. So good job to Coach Littlejohn and Brianna Chambers. Back underway, fans, inside of 13 and a half. Penguins down by a pair. Carrillo calls out of the play, 24 on the shot clock. Top of the key now. Penguins just working it around. Very patient. If you listen to the last few games, you've heard us extolling the virtues of the Penguins' patience and their choice in the matter to pass the ball more, maybe get cleaner open looks, maybe let plays develop more. They've always been a run-and-gun offense the last few years, certainly in the Booker T. Harris era. Edmiston now drives in, a poor pass intended for Haysbert. Blake got a hand on it, tipped out of bounds. And it's going to be Penguin ball on the short end. Taplin gets ready to re-enter, and he does so in place of Miles Carrillo. You wouldn't get Taplin in place of Dominique. That's the same guy. Penguins now will bring it out and reset to Taplin between the circles. Thrown in by Josh Armstrong, the 6'3" freshman. Out on the wing, Edmiston. Too much trouble. Soft side over to Taps. Straight away. Back to Taps, 10 on the shot clock. He drives in, now a bounce pass. It's rattled away. Edmiston comes up with it, 4 on the shot clock. Armstrong goes, 3 ball! Armstrong bounces it home off the window.
Oh my goodness, I don't think he called bank, but when the shot clock's winding down, you gotta get it up on the rim, and he got it to go.
Money ball, he takes it to the bank. 13-12 for the first time tonight, the DU's lead. Hawks have had a very good start, and this one as we come up on 12 minutes. Crum passes it out to Dorn. Crum and Dorn, those guys are quick and they're crafty. Dorn fires a three ball off the top of the key. Missed it way right, no rim. Taps brings it up. Armstrong, who just buried that big tray straight away, works it down low to the big fella. Haysbert's fouled on the way and luckily didn't get hurt coming down. Boy, a guy that size twists an ankle. That's something you don't want to see, and I think he did twist it a little bit as he's hobbled just ever so slightly. But Haysbert's a tough guy, and he'll mask it because the last thing Haysbert wants is to get yanked. 13-12. The Penguins lead this one by one with 11:51 to go. You're listening to NC2A Basketball on the radio home of the Penguins, radio.dominican.edu. Horn, Swan, Davis, Patrick, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. How about your assessment? This is the first time the fans have had a chance to hear from you. You're a freshman communication student. You're a sophomore communication student. But your first time working with us here on Media Row, and guaranteed not the last time. What do you think of the Hawks? Have you ever seen the Hawks here in the Conlin Center before?
I have, and this is my first time. And just seeing them tonight, I can tell they're really aggressive when they drive through the key. They know how to shoot threes, and my only advice for Dominican right now is that they can match that. They need to be more aggressive than Holy Names, and as long as we stay composed and make every shot that we can, I think we got them.
Very well said. On your maiden voyage, you came through with flying colors, and you're absolutely right. The Hawks are very adept with the tray ball. Perry with one for one outside and Curtis Ong. So which guy do you double if you know they both can hammer the tray balls? 13-12, and I guess we'll find out what Booker T. Harris will counter with. Tell you what, Booker T. Harris this season, Swanee, every decision he makes seems to turn to gold.
It has, and you can tell by the 9-5 conference record. We were here a couple weeks ago, down to the wire at Chaminade. He was pulling all the right strings, and they were able to pull out that victory in overtime.
Yeah.
And any time you can do that as a coach, your players trust you. Your players buy in when you got to draw up a clutch play when it's late.
Haysbert misses the first one. I think you're absolutely right. When you win in overtime, and we talked about it then, you got to have the horses, you got to have the shooters, but it comes down to coaching in overtime. If it ever comes down to coaching, it's in overtime. And he got a one-point victory in OT over Chaminade, who were expected to win. They were favored. They were way up in the standings. Chaminade, who's done a lot of damage in the NC2A, that was a great win.
Classic.
11.5 to go, fans. We're back underway. The Penguins by a pair. Firing from the left wing. Getting, I think it was one of his first shots of the night. Goes off by Watkins. That's Blake Watkins, a 6'3" sophomore out of San Diego. And he was a little bit deep. Penguins by two on offense. Armstrong, left side, 19 on the shot. Edmiston, low bounce pass. Perfect assist to Haysbert. He missed it a little right. Gets his own rebound and puts it back. But Haysbert was unhappy with the first effort.
He got up off the floor quickly to retrieve that miss and put it back in. He did not give up on the play. That was a big, big testament to see how much he hustles.
Penguins by four. Perfect use. Carl Dorn's got it right side. He goes up against Haysbert. Haysbert says, no, you're not getting in. So he dishes it outside to Watkins in the corner. Watkins' second shot of the night is on the mark. A big tray ball from the left corner. And the Penguins' lead is only one now. 10:28 to go. Edmiston, check it. They get it out to Bates. From here, he kind of looked like Edmiston, even his stroke. Bates passes it back to Dominic Taplin, who drives in from that left elbow and is called for a walk. And you don't see that often out of Taplin, the D1 transfer in his second year as a Dominican.
And he got clipped going to the hole. It almost looked like he drew a foul, but refs were not generous to give it to him.
Yeah, I think you're right. He did get that little clip on the way, but maybe the ref didn't see it, was out of position, maybe blinked at that instant, or was just the ref sometimes gets screened by a guy as big as Haysbert. We're coming up. Now it's 10 minutes exactly as Carrillo gets ready to re-enter along with Devin Golston. Out into the left corner, another three ball. This one fired off again by Watkins, very short. Barely got rim. The Penguins with the rebound. Armstrong, what a great juke and jive. Back down, perfect assist. It looked like he was going to juke his way in and fire off the deuce. Instead, at the last instant, he no-looked it to Haysbert, who was waiting in the wings, 18-15, as Haysbert connects for two.
The Hawks thought the same thing. He drove to the basket, drew two Hawks to him. Haysbert was wide open underneath.
Watkins now out on the right wings. He's got the Hawks' signature red hose up to the knees and a three ball from the left wing by Dorn. That's his second, 18 up. Coming up on 9 minutes, fans. The Penguins have only committed two fouls while the Hawks have committed six. We'll have Mike Temple in the second half. Swanee and, of course, Pat Davis, his first night on the air. Here on Media Row. Penguins now with 14 on the shot clock. Armstrong, who's had a good showing the last couple of games, fakes a good pass intended for Bates, holds onto it, and softs it in from the left baseline. Oh, what a great play. What a soft touch out of Armstrong with 8:39 to go. The Penguins by a pair.
The freshman finally looks like he's catching a groove and settling into his role for this Penguin team.
Isn't that the truth? Watkins again, right side three ball, very long, but in perfect position is Dante Robinson. Robinson, a 6'5" freshman out of Richmond. He went to Salesian High, and he's there with a perfect putback. Nothing like having your guy in perfect position. 20 apiece, fans, coming up on 8 minutes. Armstrong again. He's gone up against Dorn. Armstrong, 4 or 5 inches taller. Lips one out off the front of the rim. It's taken down by Watkins. So Watkins is doing a little damage to the Dominicans all over the place. the turnover committed by the Hawks. And that was on Ong, but I didn't see the call. Did you, Swanee?
I did. He was caught the pass on the inline, had the foot just touching the out-of-bounds baseline.
Right.
And anytime you're in that short corner, you don't have time to really catch where your feet are at. That was an occasion where he was just out-of-bounds.
That's a good point. Let me bring in Patrick Davis. You wanted to add something to the proceeding, sir?
Yeah, I was just going to say that looks like Armstrong is kind of leading the team right now. He's driving, and he's creating plays, and I think that's really important. As for Holy Names, we need to stop all the threes that we can because that's really killing us right now.
Well, you know, there's two schools of thought on that, and I think you're absolutely right as far as stopping them. But if you can force an opponent into a one-dimensional mode, force them to fire nothing but threes. You know what I'm saying, Swanee? We've seen it this season.
It's not happening to Dominican.
We've seen it happen, that's right, to Dominican when you get forced out and all you're doing is firing the threes. Well, you can't live on threes.
Exactly.
You're just not going to make enough of them when the other team continues to score, you know, the twos with the stops, two. Stop, two. You bury an occasional three, fair enough. But if that's all you've got, I think you're in trouble. So, how much of the resources does Booker T. Harris want to devote to guarding the threes? It's questionable. For one thing, they're doing pretty well with the threes, but in the last 5 minutes, they've got the one. I don't know how much, until they can demonstrate that they can knock them down at will, I'd be reluctant to send too many guys out. Now with the play-by-play, Swanee.
We got Armstrong and Carrillo handling the backcourt pressure. Carrillo will set it up top. He's along with Taplin, Bates, Armstrong, and Golston. No Haysbert. 7:35 remaining in this first half. Carrillo has it left southern wing. Has Golston underneath on the smaller crumb. Put back slam by Taplin off the Golston miss.
Are you kidding me? There's Taplin with those tremendous hops. We've talked about it the last three or four games. His ability to jump very high has improved exponentially this year.
Crum, great find into the corner for three. That was Dorn. He missed it. Harold Perry on the offensive glass, and he'll set it up with Dante Robinson, the freshman, who just won Freshman of the Week in the PacWest Conference.
That's huge.
And they leave him open. He's in a tee of three, and he puts it down.
You think in the locker room, Booker probably said, there's a reason this guy is a Player of the Week. It's because he can knock down those threes. So just as Pat was saying, we might have to start to consider more their ability to nail those threes.
And the Hawks shoot 20 three-point attempts per game, so they like to fire. Carrillo answers for three of his own. 25-23. Penguins regain the lead. Here's Dorn trying to come back quickly, stopped by Armstrong.
That was a line drive, too.
That was, and he hit nothing but net.
Yeah.
Crum will set it up. He's checked by Taplin. Gets a screen from Dale. Trying to wheel into the key, cut off by Golston. Great defense, shot clock down to 12. Here's Robinson, another three from the right wing. Doesn't go. High rebound for Golston. Carrillo has it. Knifing his way, coast to coast.
Oh.
Rejected by Robinson from the weak side. Crum the other way. Pace is frenetic, and he loses it out of bounds. Back over to the Penguins. Oh, my goodness.
That was frenetic. It started with Carrillo going coast to coast. You called it. He knifed his way in. I thought he had the cleanest look of all. And who was it? Robinson.
Robinson from the
weak side. He comes in out of nowhere with a tremendous rejection and really left Carrillo dazed. And they turned it back to the other end.
Yeah, check that.
In a split second.
Thank you, partner. Here's Crum to try to get it in. And his inbounds pass was deflected by Taplin. They'll keep possession under the northern basket.
Yeah, Carrillo went down after that rejection and was kind of looking like there were some birds fluttering around his head. He didn't get hurt, but I don't know if he even saw the defender coming in.
I don't think he did.
Yeah.
Here's Crum, finds Ong, swung over to Robinson. He's checked by Haysbert now. Here's Dorn, lob underneath to Perry. It was broken up by Edmiston, but a foul will be called. It's going to go against the Penguins.
Omar Sanchez, the head coach of the Hawks, he's really barking out the orders as he brings Ong close in. to talk about the next series of plays. And as I mentioned in the pregame, Omar Sanchez was one of the greatest Hawks in history, and now he's the head coach. Of course, we're talking about 10 years ago. But, boy, was he a pain in the neck. He'd play that, too. He was just one of those players. It doesn't surprise me that he's a head coach. He was that good.
That's got to feel good, playing for that collegiate team and coming back as an alumni to coach.
Yeah.
Sanchez has got to be in a great spot. Here's Crum.
He's a good guy, too.
Over to Dorn. High post to Perry. He pulls up, rattles out. Carrillo's got the board. 5:28 remaining in this first half. Penguins up by two, 25-23. They want to post Haysbert. Down on the block. Double team comes, and he's fouled. And Robinson slammed the basketball. Oh. He's going to get a technical. You can't do that.
He bounced the ball about 9 miles in the air in frustration. And you're absolutely right. Immediately called for the tee. That'll be point in possession. And it puts the Penguins in a very good spot.
And that's, you can kind of see the lack of composure by Robinson, being only a freshman. Committed that foul, thought he had a steal, coming over on the weak side for double team. Immediately slammed that basketball, like you said, 9 miles into the air.
Yeah.
That's not going to go to rest.
On the bounce, he almost hit the ceiling. And, you know, in frustration, you just can't show it. We see it all the time in professional sports, mostly in professional football, when the game becomes so intense that the guys just, they know it's going to cost them 15 yards, and they just can't hold themselves back.
The emotions are running so high, and that's what happened to Robinson. He's going to check out as Carrillo hits the first of two free throws on the technical.
Carrillo's 73% shooter. So Booker's going to put him out there.
It's a wise move as he nets both.
And that's 73%, having thrown up a ton of them. He shot 84 so far this season. That's third on the team in number, but the highest percentage of those high number shooters.
Haysbert will go to the line because not only was that a team foul, that was also an additional personal foul and team foul with the technical foul going against Robinson. Haysbert was at the line for a one-on-one, and he couldn't make it. The lead will stay a three-point advantage for DU as they will pressure in the backcourt.
And just so that the fans know, Matt Hayes, who's not playing tonight, he's not suited, has 143 point attempts. He only has 57 free throws. Well, I was really going to impress you with something there, Swanee, but it turned out not to be so great.
Julian Clark, who checked in for Robinson, turns and fires a jumper from the free throw line. He got the friendly roll. It's 27-25 as the scoreboard added an additional point for the Penguins. Here's Carrillo. Kicks out. Golson, left corner three. It's long. And an offensive board by Haysbert, and he's going to be whistled for the foul as he pushed off on Clark down low.
And I don't know if you've been noticing this, but Clark and Haysbert got a little something going back and forth. Clark's really smiling at him every time Haysbert gets in there and posts him up. Clark is listed at 6'7", and his weight is not here, but Haysbert's 6'8 with 230, as I mentioned earlier. And he's a little bigger than Clark. Clark's got a big attitude going right now. And, Haysbert, with his attitude, is almost never outdone on the attitude scale.
I agree. You don't want to wake the sleeping giant because Haysbert can take over. It's Crum up top. He's checked by Carrillo. Tries to go down the baseline. Opposite wing now, it's Dorn. Crossover, fires a jumper. It's long. Tipped up, Ong and Golston battle for the rebound, and Golston's going to win that battle just about every time. Taplin has it, front court. Tough off-balance shot, off the window, doesn't go. Perry rips down the rebound. Quickly into the front court, it's Dorn. And he carried. Got a little ahead of himself. Great defense by Carrillo to stop the ball.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. He did carry the ball, and I'm not sure why, except that it seemed like he looked up a little early. As you've mentioned in past broadcasts, sometimes players see the pass coming to them, and they're already thinking about the play that they hope to unfold, to begin that series. And exactly as you said, gets a little bit ahead of the player, and they juggle the ball around.
And that's what happens. As a player, you're always trying to think of what's going to unfold in your head before it actually goes down. So when he takes that quick look up, just he had the ball on his hip, palmed it, got whistled for the carry. But I agree with you 100%. Media timeout, 27-25. Penguins hold a two-point lead, 3:56 left. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu, home of the Penguins. And so far, Stu, Holy Names has been able to hang in with DU.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And as mentioned, on paper, the Penguins are favored. That is Holy Names 4-8 in conference. They are 5-15 overall. Now, they've won four of their last 10 games, while the Penguins have won six of their last, but are 9-5 in conference, 15-7 overall. I mean, that's pretty lopsided, and yet the Penguins' lead is only two, and we're inside of 4 minutes left in the half.
And sometimes with rivalry games, you just got to throw out all the records.
Isn't
throw
that the
out
truth?
Everything, because it just
truth.
Comes down to passion and heart for these tough, grind-out games.
And a lot of times people will say, who wants it more, who wants it more?
Yeah.
I think there's probably some truth in that, although both teams want it awfully badly.
Well, we were talking about it before the game started. There's been past history. There's been brawls. You've been here in Media Row witnessing that firsthand.
Yeah, years ago, it was a very physical rivalry. And we're back underway now as Schwartz Edmiston has it on the sideline. He gets it into the backcourt to Miles Carrillo, and we're back underway as the clock rolls. 3:50 fans, Carrillo, who took a little breather there, but now he's back in there with Bates, with Edmiston, with Golston, with Taps. Golston drives in, left side, will not be denied. Oh, brother.
He's too strong for Perry.
He absolutely owned Perry on that play, and Perry at 6'7 is not easy to own, but he got right around him and put the Penguins up by four, 29-25, 3.5 to go. Crum takes the pass, dumps it off into the corner to Walker. And he throws it away. Penguins have it back. Oh, man, the throw the length of the court to Golston. He had it in his possession for one step, but then muffed it off of his knee out off the end line, and it's just going to be an unforced turnover. The Penguins had numbers. Golston was right there, and he's going to look at that on tape and not like it much.
He was thinking showtime.
Well, and with good reason.
Oh, yeah.
Here, off he took it off the rim. This is Harold Perry, and the ball was sitting on the rim, and the rim bounced back up and knocked the ball out. He kind of hurt himself there as Edmiston goes in. Perry comes in with a big rejection. That's the second gigantic rejection against the Penguins tonight. Earlier against Carrillo, now against Edmiston. The difference is this one included a whistle.
That's exactly right. That was a gigantic
that was
rejection by Perry. He punched that out into the stands.
Yeah, that was ugly. But Edmiston drew the foul.
That's all that matters. And he hit the line.
Right. And so it can't be a true gigantic rejection if a foul's included. I mean, I can reject you, but it's not without a foul because you're bigger than me. 29-25. 2:53 to go as Edmiston knocks down the first one, as you might expect. Yeah, I think if you and I were going on one-on-one, I'd be in big trouble. Edmiston, an 85% shooter from the line. So it's pretty rare when he misses one. And he doesn't miss either of these. Christopher Schwartz Edmiston. Good old number 40 is Edmiston. What a get he was for Booker T. Harris and the Penguins. Last year he was good. This year he's better. 2:40 to go. And Taps tries his best to defend against Curtis Ong, the 6'1 senior, but Ong is able to slide one in from the left side. Golston answers very quickly as the Penguins were able to beat the Hawks back in transition, 33-27, 2:20 to go.
Hawks got a little antsy after Ong made that bucket. They didn't get back. Golston beat him back smartly, put it in.
You're absolutely right. Sometimes when you make a great shot, it's just human nature to hang out and admire, live, you know, bask in the glory of that great shot. And the Penguins have learned the hard way that you have to anticipate the other team transitioning very quickly. Just when you look up, they're already the other side.
We see it all the time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Inbounds now, very quickly, from Ong. He finds Terrence Swain, who got the start tonight. Swain is 6'7", junior, quickly on the inbounds, and Bates picks up his third. So with 2:07 to go, Bates is already making yours truly nervous. I like his aggressive play, but with the absence of Matt Hayes tonight, Bates...
You touched it.
Responsibility is a little greater.
I agree.
Free throw. First free throw by Swain is good. 33-28. 2:07 to go when the clock rolls. Perry's back in there, and Ong takes a rest. Penguin Radio on the air. We're broadcasting worldwide, as usual, from the Conlin Center. Swain toes the line with the right foot, pulls the left foot back, opens things up, and knocks it down. 33-29. The DU's. We'll bring it up very slowly. No pressure in the backcourt. Carrillo. Here comes Watkins. Carrillo's able to get it up to Devin. Golston, 360 spinner. He got a little dizzy. Missed it right. That was a good move. But I think that spin has got to be tough to correct your balance on. 33-29. As the rebound is by Dorn. Dorn now goes back to the top of the key over to Perry, who drives it in himself, right side. Boy, that was slick.
He leads the team in scoring, and that was slick.
33-31 with 90 seconds to go in the first half, fans. Carrillo's going to bring it up and try this again. That last try was not good. The Hawks made the Penguins pay for just the slightest sloppiness. Right side on the wing. Dominic Taplin has a clean look at three and jumps all over it. Trey ball. 35-31, 1 minute to go.
Carl Dorn's got to get out on Taplin. He'll hit that all night if he's got to look at it.
Yeah, it's a good point. Tapp's a confident shooter, not just from the line either. Inside of a minute, fans were at 50. And the shot clock's at 15, 1-5. Dorn, between the circles, stutter steps, gets it back off to Perry, who drives it in. Count the bucket and a whistle.
He's as cool as the other side of the pillow. He gets into the lane, and he is smooth, body control and everything. Can use both hands, and he's making an impact.
He's good defensively, but you're right, partner. He's a shooter. I mean, this guy is a bona fide shooter. Close range, deep. He's a guy you want to have the ball.
Oh, yeah.
You want to get it into his hands as often as possible, and if he's being doubled, get it to Dorn. And if Dorn's in trouble, get it to Crum.
So the Hawks have options.
Yeah, they're deep. And if Crum's in trouble, get it to Swain. I mean, these guys are deep. 35-33. 42 seconds to go. Perry to the line. Harold Perry Jr., the 6'7 junior. He's a junior and he's a junior. And he makes them both. Penguins by one. 35-34. Penguins on offense now. Armstrong. Nowhere to go with it. Gets it back up to the top of the key to Carrillo. 20 on the shot clock, 27 overhead. Taplin with that three in his pocket from just a moment ago. He's pushed out between the circles by Robert Rendon, a 6'2" senior out of Bakersfield. Six on the shot clock. Carrillo wants to get the last one off, 10 overhead. He goes left side, heaves it out, draws a whistle. Sanchez hates it. And it was a charge. No, it was a, you're right, it was a walk on Miles Carrillo. 7.9 seconds to go, fans. Well, that didn't work. Of the last three plays, the Penguins have looked a little sloppy. Of course, the one in the middle was Taplin with the big three. Perry Jr. brings it up, and yeah, he spooned it across the middle.
He did it a couple times. I thought he got away with one, and then he did it again.
I think he got away with the first one, but you can't keep doing it right in the face of the ref.
Penguins got a shot.
4.1, and Booker T. Harris wants to try and set up a play.
I love that. I love this timeout by Booker T. Harris. You got one in your back pocket. You might as well use it. You got 4.1 seconds left. That's at least three dribbles.
No, I think
to get a good shot.
Yeah, you're right. 4.1 seconds. Plenty of time for the Penguins to set a play and have a backup plan. Really, they can bring it up, look one way. If it's not clear, go the other way. Somebody get a shot off. A three-pointer right here would put the Penguins up by four. That would be big. Either way, the DUs are not going to allow the Hawks to get one more shot off.
That's good. Take that lead into half. But this would be a huge momentum builder if they can find a way to get a bucket.
Even two here would be nice.
Oh, yeah.
Penguins will take anything right now. Here we go, fans. 4.1 seconds to go. It's 8:22 in California. Inbounds. Carrillo's got it, three. Across the middle, two. Right side behind the back. 1 second. Carrillo, three ball on the way. Oh, just off the front rim. He had a clean look. But he did have Dalton Dale, the 6'3" junior, plastered to him. So Carrillo got the shot off, was unable to convert. But as we suspected, the Penguins go into the clubhouse up by one, Swanee.
Got to be happy. If you're Booker D. Harris, team played well, especially the second part of that first half. They're only up one. I think once you see this Dominican squad start to really click, they can pull away from the Holy Names Hawks. But if you let the Hawks hang in, it's a rivalry game. They're going to be fighting until the very end.
You're right.
And if they're in it, down by a basket or two with under 5 minutes to play, it's going to be just like what we saw against the women's earlier.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I am happy to report, fans, that Breonna Chambers and Coach Cornell Littlejohn were able to take the Penguin women into the victory lane tonight with a great win over the Lady Hawks. The Penguins led by one with 40 seconds to go and were able to hold on. You get into a game like that, I believe it's coaching. When it's that close, I like to say it's coaching. If the Penguins had lost, I don't know who I'd blame it on. But since the Penguins won, the Penguin women, I like to give Breonna Chambers, in her seventh season, props. And just like that one-point overtime victory against Chaminade, I like to give Booker T. Harris and props and say a win like that is coaching. And it was nice to watch the women win tonight. You know, they had a lot of confidence.
They did.
Penguin men in the first half here, very confident. But the Penguin women early in the season, I think they lacked that confidence. And the last few games, they've really got their swag going.
You hit it. And you can tell. They're starting to get out in passing lanes, steal, chest bump, hip bump when they're coming over into the huddle. They're high-fiving. The morale is up, and it's good. They're winning games. They're got a shot to make the PacWest tournament in Point Loma when this is all said and done.
And the women we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, the women.
Yeah.
And earlier in the year, when they were dropping games, it is a little discouraging. But once you hit your stride, everything changes. And you've seen that for this Coach Chambers Lady Penguins.
Yeah, I'm looking at the standings right now, fans. And after that win tonight, the Penguin women improved to 6-9. And names went to 5-8. So they really just switched places in the standings. And that's, in a rivalry scenario, that's an awful nice thing. If you're a Penguin fan, you like beating Chaminade. You like beating BYU Hawaii, but you love getting past the Hawks for the obvious reasons. The same way the Raiders like to get past Kansas City. The same way that the Giants like to get past the Dodgers
Those
when they can.
Dreaded Dodgers.
It's the same thing. And like you said, on paper means nothing in a rivalry game that's this intense because you just throw all the stats out and you let these guys go at it 100%. And those are the most fun games there are.
Oh, usually, always. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of rivalries. When this schedule came out, you know Coach Booker T. Harris and Coach Chambers circled
yeah,
this game
right.
on
first
February
thing 15th. They do. Yeah, first thing they
we
do.
We got to have this one.
Yeah, as they go.
It's good for recruiting and everything.
That's right. You go to the one of the Hawks coming, and when are we going there? And those are the games. And all the rest are very important. But that one has a little something on it, a little cinnamon sprinkled on it. 11 minutes to go in halftime. Swanee will be back in about 10 minutes to bring you the stats from the first half. You are listening to Penguin Basketball on the radio home of the Penguins, radio.dominican.edu. Please stay with us through these messages.
Broadcasting worldwide from Dominican University of California.
Today, communication skills are essential to success in any profession.
Hello, folks. Welcome to tonight's broadcast here in San Rafael. Mike Temple, Alex Swan, Patrick Davis, Stuart Horn, the whole crew is here at Media Row. Excited for the second half to get ready to rumble. 1 minute, 25 seconds left until that happens. Dominican up right now, 35-34, looking to build on that four-game win streak that they have going on right now. Only one loss in the Collins Center. A bunch of good numbers that the Penguins hope to continue here tonight against the Hawks. Some stats updates. Leading scorer for Holy Names right now is Harold Perry, who was their leading scorer coming into the game. He's doing that right now with 9 points, 3 rebounds. And for Dominican, it's been spread around pretty decently, but the leading scorer right now is Connor Haysbert. He got going early with 9 points, 3 rebounds. They've been the two main players. It's been Perry versus Haysbert down low. It's been a good matchup to watch.
We kind of expected that. Haysbert's been on fire at Point Loma and at Dixie, continuing that hot streak here in the Conlon Center. And it's no surprise Harold Perry is starting to go off. He is a specimen. He's long. He's not as tall nearly as Kevin Durant. He's got the build like that. He's got the sweet jumper, and he can get to the lane and finish with both hands. Contain Harold Perry. That's got to be big, and you got to step out, get a hand up on the outside. Don't let the Hawks get these open looks at threes.
And it seems like every game here in the Collins Center goes down to the last couple possessions. It looks like it's going to go the same way here tonight. 7 seconds until the second half gets ready to rumble. Mike Temple, Oxwan, Patrick Davis will be here with you for the rest of the second half. Stay tuned. Radio.dominican.edu. Coach Booker T. Harris sending out his lineup of Schwartz, Emiston, Carrillo, Taplin, Haysbert, and Golson. Matt Hayes, of course, not playing today. We just got an update that he has the flu and will be out for this whole game. Wanted to make sure we got that breaking news towards you. Carrillo brings it up, gets it inside to Golson. Golson gets trapped, kicks it out, swung around the perimeter. Schwartz, Emiston on the right wing. Now up top to Taplin again, swung around the perimeter, now to the left corner, Golson. No urgency right now as they're just swinging around the perimeter. Still right wing, Carrillo. Carrillo dumps it inside to Haysbert. Haysbert gets double teamed, forces up a shot as the shot clock was down to 6 and misses it. Rebound Hawks.
Not a great look. That's a nice shot that you wanted for Coach Harris right over the smaller Ong. Just couldn't finish.
Josh Crum, the 6-foot guard out of Oakland. Very good first step. The Penguins look like they're switching into a zone here. Swung around the perimeter. Right wing, Dalton Dale has it. He picks up his dribble, gets inside to Perry. Perry on Carrillo right now, the height advantage. He settles for a jumper and gets it off the glass, falls.
That was smooth. Sized up, Carrillo went off the window for the two.
36-35, Penguins trail by one. This game has been back and forth the whole time. Schwartz Emiston has up top, swung over to the right corner. Carrillo inside to Golson. Golson looking to do work on Perry. Passes it out to Tap for a three. Taplin knocks it down.
Taplin catch and shoot. Got two threes tonight.
Taplin known more for his inside game, showing that he has the perimeter game as well as he's knocked down two threes tonight. Crum comes the other way, guarded by Taplin. Right wing to Ong. Ong now in the corner, over to Dale. Ong gets it back, tries to drive, splits three defenders, forces up a wild left finger roll, airballed, rebound Perry, but out of bounds. He could not gain control.
That was great help defense. Wild shot there.
Yeah, I didn't even expect Ong to go up with that. We haven't seen much of his offensive game, then he throws up a shot like that. Uncharacteristically, anyways, good for the Penguins as they get the ball. Carrillo brings it up on the right wing. Taplin now in the right corner. He looks to drive baseline and stopped by Crum. Picks up his dribble. Schwartz Emiston for three. Just off the back rim. Haysbert fights for the rebound. Nice board. Goes up strong. Finishes for two.
Went up high for the board. Yanked it right out of Swain's mitts. Went back up strong. Haysbert's having himself a ball game.
You got to be tough to guard Haysbert inside, and they show just why right there with that strong rebound. Crum comes back the other way and airballs the shot. Penguins will get the ball as it bounced out of bounds. And I want to get Patrick Davis in here right now. What are you seeing early on with the sense of urgency, both on the offense and defense side for the Penguins?
It looks like Dominican got a good talk during the halftime. I think they're coming out with more fire than the Hawks right now. And it's pretty evident that we're taking the lead. We have 4 more points right now. And as long as we can keep the fire burning, I think we can basically burn the Hawks out.
Keep the fire burning, exactly what I wanted to hear. Carrillo has it in the right corner, 17 on the shot clock. They're in no rush. This is typical Penguin basketball. Look for one good shot. Milk the shot clock down. Carrillo gets a wide open three, and he knocks it down.
Perry couldn't get out in time.
Hello.
Him and Taplin are pulling the Splash Brothers tonight.
And you are referencing Curry and Thompson right there. The splash brothers that it is, Carrillo and Edmondson and Taplin. Everyone getting involved from beyond the arc. 43-36 Penguins lead. In the left corner, Perry has, he gets a nice head fake. But the dribble penetration is stopped. Ong has it up top. Dribbles to two defenders trapped. Swung over to Crum in the right corner. Crum has a very good first step. 10 on the shot clock. Gives it over to Ong in the corner. Deep three from the corner. Misses. Crum gets the rebound. And the hustle by the 6 foot guard gets them another possession here. 25 on the shot clock as it reset with the ball hitting the rim. No movement right now. Crum still has it. He dribbles to the right wing. Gets inside, beats Carrillo, hands it off to Ong in the left corner. Ong gets inside the paint. Over to Perry for a deep right corner three miss, and Ong gets the rebound. Another possession for the Hawks.
Three chances at it. DU's got to dig in.
Can they get the stop this time and the rebound? This could be demoralizing, these second chance points. In the left corner is Dale. Dale inside to Crum. Crum on one knee, passes it out to Ong on the right wing. Ong dribble is trapped by Carrillo and Schwartz Emerson. Ball swung over to Crum up top. 10 on the shot clock. Dale on the left wing. That one's short. Do they get the rebound? And it's going to bounce in the left corner. Loose ball, and the Penguins get the ball, not because of their own rebound, but because the ball bounced out of bounds.
I'll tell you what. Perry just sent Carrillo flying, going after that loose ball. He was lucky not to pick up a foul as they were battling it out. Penguins will take over on possession. That was great defense.
43-36, 15-59. We are at our first media timeout of the second half. Penguins looking to get that five-game win streak and move ever so closely to that number two spot, which they are only two games behind and one behind the third-place spot over Dixie State, who will be coming to town Thursday, February 20th, which is an important day for Dominican basketball. It's the Ron Powell tribute night. He was a Dominican player and coach from 1971. I mean, he was a class of 1994, and he just passed away recently. All of those funds, the Thursday night game, will be going towards his Roneal Powell Memorial Fund. So definitely come out and watch the Penguins basketball, but also support a good cause.
Tragic, tragic news.
February 20th against Dixie State. Definitely tragic news. Story just broke about 2 days ago. He has a family, has a kid with cancer, just a lot of tough news to take in for his family, and it's definitely going to be good that the Penguins are supporting him as a community.
Oh yeah, thoughts and prayers go out to his family.
Coming back to this game, Dominican against Holy Names, NC2A action, a huge Pac West game. Devin Golson 5 points, Connor Haysbert 11 points, Carrillo 10, Taplin 7, Armstrong 5, Schwartz Emerson 5. They are spreading the wealth here today for the Penguins.
That's how you win basketball games. The more people you get involved, the better chance you have of winning the game.
And we've seen it with the girls' team and the girls' game. They love to spread the ball. They love to spread the wealth. And that's what makes them so successful. They get everyone involved. The men are doing the same thing here. And that is why they are up 43-36, 15-59 left in the game. And we resume play here. Carrillo has it. He's getting trapped in the backcourt. Taplin now has it. Nice baseball pass over Schwartz Emerson. They break the press easily. Carrillo now has it up top. 2 feet beyond the three-point line. Dribble handoff to Taplin. Taplin over to Schwartz Emerson in the left corner. Swung around the perimeter again. Carrillo has it, right elbow, swings over Taplin. Taplin wide open, three in the corner, just missed. Haysbert, nice rebound. He dribbles, puts it on the ground, and stolen. As a big man, you don't want to do that. You want to keep the ball up high, and that's why they lost possession. Hawks come back the other way. Racing, Perry has it at the three-point line. Golson daring him to shoot, and he won't, and he gives it up top to Dorn. Carl Dorn, the 6'1 junior from Sacramento, gives it off to Crum. The Penguins running that zone, which has been successful here in the second half. Perry has it, swung to the left wing, Robinson. Now to Dorn, no movement, 8 on the shot clock. They've had no success getting to the paint on this possession. Dorn looking to do it himself. Deep three. That one's missed, rebound by Haysbert.
Way to get out and contest that three by Dorn. Carrillo got a hand up. Haysbert, of course, is going to be crashing the glass down low.
Speaking of Carrillo, he pushes it, gets to the rain, uses the body, and nice finish inside.
How good is he at keeping the dribble alive once he gets into the paint?
Biggest lead of the night, 9 points right now. Penguins up 45-36. Crum has it up top. Penguins still in that zone. Dorn in the left corner, daring the Hawks to shoot a three right now. Perry has it on the right wing, and a reach-in foul called by Taplin.
One of those hand check fouls. Rather have that than foul Perry during the active shooting or on the drive.
And that is Taplin's second foul. They're gonna, Coach Booker T. Harris is going to chase him for the freshman, Josh Armstrong, who like Patrick, Stu, and Alex talked about in the first half, they played. Josh Armstrong played very well in the first half.
He did. He's only a freshman, and he's finally settling in, getting understanding his role of what he needs to do for this Penguins team to be successful.
We resume play. Crum has on the right wing. He takes it himself inside, air balls, but rebounded by the Perry. In a fight for the loose ball, Schwartz-Emerson ends up with it. Carrillo looking to push. He has Golson. Golson streaking. Three on three. Golson pulls up and pulls an ankle. It looks like that is not good.
Oh, my goodness. He's down.
That is not good. He is hurting.
That's his knee.
Grabbing his knee, grimacing in pain.
Oh, this is devastating.
One of the key players for the Penguins all season. He's been named PacWest Player of the Week four times already on the season. He is hurting right now. His trainer will come out. This is a sad moment for the Penguins right now.
This is terrible to see your senior leader go down. That's how much he means to this Penguins team.
And the crowd.
It's not good.
The crowd has really fallen in a hush as this is, like you said, the senior leader, one of the most important players on the team. He's going to get helped up. Let's see if he can walk off and under his own strength. Now they're going to get players to help him up here. Glad to see him get up and out. You need a stretcher at least, but not a good moment for the Penguins.
He can't make it off on his own weight. You got to hope that's not an ACL or a meniscus injury. But he's going to – I can tell you right now, we're not going to be seeing Golston tonight, but we really, really wish him well, that he can recover quickly and that it's not as bad as we think.
And the only silver lining I can think about in this situation is they do have a week off until their next game. He can get rested. Still sad to see such a good player go down like that in a situation like this in his senior year. We hope the best for him and hope his recovery is quick. 14 minutes left. Hawks coming back the other way. Crum has it, trying to direct traffic. See if they can find a thing to break this zone offense, and an off-ball foul on the screen by Perry, and the Penguins will get the ball.
Carrillo doing a good job fighting over that screen. Perry moved his feet. Can't do that. Offensive foul.
That is the third foul for Perry, who is a key player for this Hawks team. Penguins trying to get this lead to double digits. Bates has it on the inside. Goes up for a nice layup. Good job breaking the press.
Great job by Carrillo attracting the defense, finding the cutting Bates along the baseline.
Now the Penguins imposing their will. Up 11, 47-36. Hawks have it. They have not found an answer to this zone. Crum has it now. He tries to drive, kicks over to the left corner where Watkins has a three, and that's huge.
Keeping him in the game. By the way, the three ball, Watkins has got a couple of them tonight.
47-39, 13 minutes, 15 seconds left to play. Carrillo has it, uses a screen from Haysbert. He's up top still. And an off-ball foul as Haysbert was trying to set a screen, and it looks like Dorn's going to pick up the foul, trying to fight through the pick. That is his first foul, third team foul for the Hawks. Here, 13 minutes left to play. That's going to be the second team foul. I thought that was the third. Second team foul for the Hawks. Inbounding the ball will be the freshman, Josh Armstrong. Carrillo wants the ball in the corner, doesn't get it. Nice find, and Haysbert gets it inside and knocks over his own player in Bates.
Quick flash from Haysbert. Nice find from Armstrong off the inbound.
And Bates jokingly laughs towards Haysbert. Why'd you got to knock me down? That's neither here nor there. 49-39. Penguins up 10. Crum has it. Gives it over to Watkins in the right corner. Watkins drives, and Schwartz-Emerson cannot move his feet quick enough. He's going to pick up a foul. Both teams now have two team fouls. That's Schwartz-Emerson's second personal foul. And Taplin's going to come in and get Carrillo. 49-39, 12:51 left in this second half. Watkins inbounds. It gets to the Dorn. Penguins switch to man-to-man. Crum has it on the left wing. No, they're going to go fall back in the zone. That was a confusing look. Dorn for three. He misses. Taplin and Haysbert sky for the rebound, but they knock it out. Someone's got to call team, my own team, or so. I don't know what the kind of communication they use, but they knock it out, and the Hawks will keep the ball.
Haysbert and Taplin both got a piece of it. That's how much hops Taplin has.
Yeah, Taplin can jump out of this building, and he showed it earlier on the putback slam. On the inbounds play, Crum has it up top. Shot clock does reset, so we're at 27 seconds. Dorn on the right wing. Uses a pick, gives it over to Crum. Crum on the left elbow. His shot off the right rim. Haysbert skies for the board. Taplin looks to push, and his throw is underthrown. Bates fights for it, though, and keeps the ball with the Penguins. Good hustle by Johnny Bates. Armstrong has it on the right wing. Now gives it off to Taplin. Taplin looking to operate as Crum is pressuring him all the way back, almost past half court. Armstrong over to Schwartz-Emiston in the right wing. Now up top to Tap. Tap taking his time, 15 on the shot clock. Used the pick from Haysbert. On the roll, they give it over to Armstrong in the left wing. Armstrong drives, he skies, he finishes for two.
Good move on the smaller Dorn. Went baseline, couple bounces with his left hand, rose up and hit the J. He's impressing me tonight.
He definitely is impressing me as well, as he is taking advantage of the defender that is guarding him, and he finishes for two. 51-39, we're at another timeout here, 11 minutes and 46 seconds. Mike Temple, Alex Schwann, Patrick Davis with you. And Patrick, you get the pleasure of watching and not having to commentate the whole time, so you probably see some things that we don't. What are you noticing early on in the second half?
I think Dominican is definitely making the Hawks force shots, and that's taking away from a lot of their points just because I think the pressure is getting to them and they can't make every three, you know, so I think it's perfect what we're doing right now. And even though Golson out, I think as a team we can still work together, and as so far it's proven that we are keeping the lead and we're staying strong. So I think it's possible that the fact that he's injured now, I guess. I don't exactly know what happened, but it seemed like his knee was injured, and it's a pretty bad injury, but that could bring the team closer. I know that from experience as a soccer player, so I think if the team comes together around the fact that one of their biggest captains is out, it might bring some of the younger guys in and give them a chance as well.
Yeah, good point. If you just joined us, Devin Golson did go down. Matt Hayes is sick. And like Patrick was saying, an injury can sometimes, to one of your better players, can bring a team together, make them play better. And like you've seen Armstrong already, he's already coming into that role, knowing that he has to play better with both Hayes and Golson out. Coming the other way out of the timeout, Ong has on the right wing. He drives, stopped by Armstrong, and around the back pass is tipped out of bounds, and the Penguins are going to get the ball.
I love what Patrick said. We got another media timeout here. But you're a band of brothers. When one of them goes down, you got to have someone step up, next man up. You hear it in sports all the time. And when one of your especially star players, I'm going to refer to him as the star player, he's third in the conference overall in scoring, you got to have people step up. You got to have another man really take on that role that he had. And that's what it's all about. That's why you have team camaraderie.
Yeah, exactly. No one's going to make excuses if one of your top players is out. So what this has to do for the Penguins is bring them together. Like you said, someone else has to step up. Even if it's a multitude of players, you need someone to fill the void of Devin Golson. And that's right now. Armstrong is doing that. You've seen Schwartz-Emiston do that in the absence of Hayes. It's going to be a team effort for them to come back from this. Depending on how long Golson's out, it could be just a minor injury, but what it looked like, it might be something more than just one or two games. Hopefully not for his and our case here on Media Row. This is NC2A action in the Collins Center, the Penguins versus the Hawks. Our next broadcast will be next Thursday. That is not tomorrow, of course. February 13th against another rival in the Argonauts of Notre Dame, Dana Muir, small school out of Belmont that I know a little bit about since I transferred from there. So it's also a rivalry game for me. Men will be taking place at 7:30, women at 5:30.
That one a little personal feel for you.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not going to bash that school, but it wasn't for me. And it's going to be interesting to see all the guys that I once cheered for now going to be seeing them play against my new school. So that'll be interesting for me as well, just on a personal note here. Coming out of the timeout, it's going to be Schwartz-Emiston, Armstrong, Taplin, Bates, and Haysbert. Haysbert is open deep if they want to give it to him. If they want to force it to him, they don't. Taplin has that midcourt. Back to Armstrong. They just get past the timeline before the shot clock. He picks up his dribble trap. Schwartz-Emiston gets at the free throw line. Bounce pass to Bates. Bounces off his knees, but then hits a holy name defender and ricochets out of bounds. That ball was ping-ponged around. Ends up Penguins ball here. 23 seconds on the shot clock. Armstrong will be inbounding it. A lot of trust and faith in the freshman. Nice alley-oop to Haysbert. He hangs but misses the layup. Gets his own rebound and finishes. We've seen that twice already. The tenacity inside by Haysbert to get the rebound, even if he misses and finishes for two.
That's a well-drawn-up play. Haysbert sets a screen, then he gets an immediate down screen to free him up for that little curl.
53-39, Penguins building on this lead. Coming the other way, Perry forces up a wild shot. Ball goes out of bounds. Penguins ball.
We're starting to see the Penguins really clamp down on Holy Names. It was only a one-point game at half. It's blossomed out to 14 now. It's all starting on the defensive side of the basketball.
And that's what you'll see with an underdog coming in. The first half is usually close, and they have a spirited effort, but the better teams, the more polished teams will assert themselves in the second half. Coming back the other way, Schwartz-Emerson for a right three. He misses. Rebound, Holy Names. This time they're looking to push, get some quick offense. Crum has it. He's driving, goes all the way to the rack. No one stops the ball, misses the layup. And hanging for a rebound was Doran, the guard, and he gets fouled on the offensive board.
Game skying in there. It's only 5'10 from Sacramento. He's got some risers as well.
Yeah, they list him as 6'1, but he's definitely not 6'1. Like you said, he's 5'10. And that's being generous. You know how rosters will always add 2 to 3 inches at the least. They list him at 6'1, but that's not true. I like your call on 5'10 there. He's going to the line for two free throws here. Doran bounces it twice. At the hip, he shoots it, and that one is good. 53-40, 13-point lead for the Penguins. 10 minutes and 28 seconds. And Coach Booker T. Harris is mad that he's at the line because he thought it was a rebound foul, but they guess they're going to call him in the act that he was going to tip it in. I got to agree with Coach Booker T. Harris on the Penguin bench here. But anyways, knocks down both free throws, 53-42. Again, they're setting up that press, which hasn't really worked. Carrillo over to Armstrong. 30 on the shot clock. Got 5 seconds to get a pass. They do. Schwartz-Emerson trapped in the right corner here, and he uses the timeout. Nicely done, as there's almost going to be a five-second call there.
Swain and Perry did a nice job trapping up Schwartz-Emerson in the corner. That's always a tough position. Once you cross that timeline, you got the half-court line, the baseline, the sideline, trapping you along with the defenders, so you really have four defenders.
Yeah, it's really four defenders, and that's why he had to use a timeout. There was no way he was getting out of that. Smartly done, though, by the sophomore Schwartz-Emerson to call a timeout, as every possession in the second half is magnified and more important down the stretch, and that's why only up by 12 right now, each possession is important. Coming out of the timeout, we got Haysbert, Armstrong, Schwartz, Edmonston, Bates. It looks like we had 6 points. Oh, Haysbert was just wiping off his feet. That tricked me because usually when you wipe off the feet, you're going in the game, but he's not. It's going to be Armstrong, Bates, Carrillo, Schwartz, Edmonston, and Taplin on the inbound play going towards the northern end of the Collins Center. This is the nightcap of a doubleheader, which the women won earlier. Carrillo has the inbounds. Being pressured. Bates has at the right elbow. The Hawks are up in the defensive pressure here. Carrillo for three. He knocks it down.
Right over Doran. He's been heating up in the second half. That's too much room if you're Doran to give Miles Carrillo.
Carrillo has improved his three-point shooting over the latter half of the season. He's knocking down almost 40% over the last five games. And Perry looked like he traveled but doesn't get the call, and he finishes for two.
And Taplin's talking to the official right now. It did look like he walked.
56-43, Carrillo has on the left wing. Backdoor cut from Taplin. They can't find him. Carrillo still has it now. He dribbles all the way over right towards us on media row. He gets it. Bates for a right corner three. Bates knocks it down as well. Bang, bang, two in a row.
They double Carrillo off the pick and roll. They leave Bates for the pick and pop, and he makes them pay.
Crum coming back the other way. Hands off to Perry. Perry glides but misses the layup. Rebound, though, was knocked down by Swain. Swain goes up for a shot and gets fouled in the action.
Penguins really starting to pour it on, by the way, the three ball, back-to-back possessions.
First Carrillo, then Bates, making this lead grow up to now 16, 59-43, 9 minutes and 19 seconds left in this one. Penguins looking for that 10th conference win. They'll be the second team to get into double digits if they can accomplish that today. Swain on the free throw knocks it down. Coming in for the Penguins is going to be Ramirez, also a freshman. He'll be taking the place of Schwartz-Emerson. Right now, if you're the Hawks, this is the time to go. 59-44 with only 9 minutes and 19 seconds left. They need to make their run now. The Penguins will do their best to stop it. Swain with another free throw. Misses that one. Splits the pair. Taplin has it. They set up their soft 1-2-2 press. Armstrong has it as they are past half court. Gives it back to Taplin. Just 2 feet away from half court now. And the Like we said, the Hawks are up in that defensive pressure. Armstrong in the right corner trying to drive on Crum, but they stop it. Carrillo has it, gets to the right elbow. He picks up his dribble. Now to Taplin on the left elbow. Taplin drives, kicks over to Armstrong. Armstrong for three. No, that was Ramirez. They get those two mixed up, 23 and 24 are their numbers. He misses the three, rebound by the Hawks. They push Dorn over to Perry in the right corner. Perry, nice swing through, Drew move, gets to the paint, gives it off to Swain. Swain goes up for a two, and he's fouled.
Good dump down by Perry to Swain. Able to go draw the foul and gets himself to the line. And game ain't over yet.
Yeah, with Swain getting to the line, the last two possessions, they are slowing down the game. They're prolonging the game and getting Dominican in foul trouble. That is the fifth team foul, just two away from the bonus, which we all know in a close game could come back to haunt you. Swain split the pair last time. He'll be going to the line for two more. His first one is true. 59-45. Checking in for the Penguins is going to be Haysbert, taking the place of Johnny Bates. Next broadcast will be Thursday against NDNU. Then the Penguins hit the road again for one game against Holy Names. Splits the free throws again, and Haysbert gets the rebound. They break the press. Armstrong has it. Gives it over to Taplin on the right wing. Taplin brings it to the top by the Dominican insignia midcourt over the right corner. Carrillo inside to Haysbert. Haysbert cross-court pass over to Taplin on the left wing. Now Carrillo for a deep three, just in and out, and rebound goes to Swain.
Carrillo wanted that one.
Hawks running the court. Harold Perry has on the left wing. He drives, hangs, gets fouled, and finishes the shot.
This is to cut it to 11. Holy Names hanging around.
And I've heard it many a times watching Warrior games. You get the game down to double digits or even under double digits. That is the most important part of a comeback because it gives your team hope. And right now that's what the Hawks are doing, inching closer to that ever so important double-digit mark, 59-47. And one more thing was Harold Perry ran the court like a demon right there, like Tasmanian devil, able to get to the line but did not finish the three-point play. Free throw knocked out. Up in the air like 10 feet. Carrillo ends up with a loose ball. He looks to push, gets it. Nice throw inside. Haysbert finishes with a dunk.
Oh, Ramirez touch pass to Haysbert. It all started with Carrillo. Beautiful play.
Two-handed slam gets the crowd into it. 61-47, 7:50 left in the game. Trying to stop the momentum that the Hawks were slowly gaining. Crum has it up top. He dribbles, gets to the paint, and gets fouled. You've seen it here in the second half. The Hawks are making a point of emphasis to drive to get the ball inside and get to the free throw line. 7:42 left in the second half, 61-47. We are at another media timeout here in the nightcap of what was a very good start to the day. The Lady Penguins won after being only up by one with 40 seconds. Then with 13 seconds, they had a turnover. We thought, wow, this Hawks team might actually come back. They needed a three on the last possession, but the defense of the Penguins stopped them. And the Lady Penguins were able to come out with another win and really just cement themselves as maybe even a five seed in this playoff chase. And Patrick Davis, a soccer player, how important is it to get these wins in conference when they're close? I know you played soccer in a lot of close games in soccer. I even watched a couple against Holy Names go back and forth. How important is it for your team to get close wins?
It's probably the most important thing. It all comes down to numbers in any kind of sport. And toward the end of the season, when you're this close, as Dominican basketball is, to the top of the leaderboard, I think getting this win is very important when they're about to play Dixie next week, or in 2 weeks, actually. And since Dixie's just ahead of them, I think it's really important mentally for the team. They'll get the edge going in to play Dixie, and I think they'll feel more confident when they actually start to play, so.
And I couldn't have said it better myself. Winners of four straight. They have climbed themselves up the leaderboard into the number four position, just one game behind Dixie. And like Patrick said, Dixie will be coming here in the Collins Center playing on February 20th in what might be a game for third seed in the playoffs. But every game matters, and that's why right now the Penguins are trying to close this one out. 61-47, leading score for the Penguins right now. Connor Haysbert, 17, and Korea with 15. Pacing the Penguins right now. Crum at the line for two. And a little story about Joshua Crummer. He goes by JJ. Went to same middle school with him. Played against him in high school. very good all-around athlete, has a great first step. And I know that from personal experience because I try to guard him and he just blow by me. He knocks down both free throws. The sophomore from Oakland, California. Gets the score to 61-49 here. Carrillo has the ball. They set up that press again. Don't know why they keep it because it's easily broken. This time doesn't go up in a layup. Armstrong has it on the right sideline. Gives it over to Carrillo up top. Now tapping on the left wing. Screen by Haysbert. Haysbert slips the screen, but they can't find him. Ramirez, right elbow. Gives it over to Carrillo. Carrillo drives inside the paint. He hands it off to Armstrong for a corner three. Just missed. Rebound goes to Dante Robinson. Now Dorn looking to push. Crum has it on the right wing. Three-pointer for Watkins. No, he pump fake. Gives it off to Crum. Crum drives over Haysbert. Nice finish by J.J. Crum.
Woo! You introduced him at the right time, saying you personally knew the man because he went flying left-handed layup style. That was amazing.
He went up and over, up, under, over. I don't know what it was to beat Haysbert. The much taller defender gets this game to double digits, 61-51. Armstrong has it. Now swung around the perimeter, left wing, Carrillo. Carrillo inside to Haysbert. Haysbert goes up for a shot and is pushed behind him and gets fouled. Go to the line for two free throws.
That's such a good play that Coach Harris dials up there. You got a flex cut from Haysbert coming right in front of Carrillo on the ball side. Once Haysbert catches that ball down low that deep, there's just no stopping him. It's either going to be a foul or a bucket.
And also on that flex cut, Haysbert will fake the pick and roll and he'll slip it, which is getting him quicker and open looks. And then if they have a different variation to it where he will set the pick and actually try to get the pick and roll. It's a great play for Coach Booker T. Harris, Miles Carrillo, and Haysbert, like John Stockton and Karl Malone right now. Haysbert goes to the line for a free throw. Misses the first one, but he does get the second one as it was in the act of shooting. 10-point lead for the Penguins, 6:43 left. This one should go down to the wire like it always does in the Collins Center. The second free throw is good. Lead up to 11. Dorn has it. Newly entered, Josh Casham. Just helping him break the press as Dorn now has on the right wing. Dorn looking for some action. No one moving right now. We've seen that at times for the Holy Names. They'll run the isolation play. They get it to the right elbow. Now swung over to the corner for a three, and it hits the front rim, bounces on the other side of the rim, and gets the shooter's roll. Falls. Dante Robinson for three.
That's a huge bucket. That is a huge bucket. That cuts a deficit to 8.
This one is going to go down to the wire. 62-54, Taplin has it. Over to Ramirez. Ramirez to Carrillo. For Carrillo for the answer three, he misses. Offensive rebound, Haysbert. Haysbert over to Armstrong, and they settle the possession. Good job by Haysbert inside to get another chance for the Penguins. Armstrong on the right wing, getting pressured by Dorn. Uses a pick from Ramirez. Ramirez slips, it doesn't get the ball. Taplin at the left elbow, drives all the way in the paint, but blocked by Perry. Perry rejected him. Dorn running the court. Dorn doesn't see anyone open. Perry with a nice alley-oop, but he misses it. That was an up-and-under reverse alley-oop. High level of difficulty alley-oop the other way. Haysbert controls the ball, misses the shot. This ball is going everywhere, and Coach Booker T. Harris sees it. Did he call a timeout? No, they're going to have a ref. We're going to have a stoppage here with 5:30 left, 62-54.
If you're Carl Dorn, in transition, you have two other teammates running the wing. I don't know why he tried to barrel inside and throw up a wild layup. And then you got Perry trying to come up and grab it in midair and go up and under. That was just way too difficult. Almost got it to go.
That's what I was trying to say, but things got too quick there. He's supposed to be a point guard, and you're supposed to have your head up. Didn't find him, and it helped the Penguins there as it kept it at an 8-point lead. Taplin has it on the right wing as we resume play here. Carrillo now up top, uses a screen from Haysbert. Carrillo can't find anyone open. He picks up his dribble. Schwartz Evanston comes to help. Backdoor cut by Taplin. Taplin knifes his way inside the paint and gets fouled and finishes for two.
Oh, great pass from Carrillo, but like you touched on, he knifed his way, sidestepped Perry, left-handed layup. That was pretty.
And it all started with the backdoor cut. The Hawks have upped the defensive pressure and trying to deny the ball. Taplin noticed that, cuts backdoor. Nice catch. Then it was the finish. A great offensive player knows how to do that. He sidestepped, like you said, finished for two, and will go to the line to try to get this lead back up to 11. Taplin, a very good free throw shooter. This one is good.
It's a 5-point swing right there.
Huge point because they missed the easy transition layup that they should have had. Penguins come back the other way and get the 3-point play. 65-54. Crum looking to answer. He has it up top. Taplin will be switched to guard him. Looking for Perry, posted up on Carrillo, but they couldn't get it to him. Now they do on the left elbow. Right elbow, that is. He dribbles to the left elbow, swings it over to Crum on the right wing. Crum using a screen from Perry. Can't find anyone open. Eight on the shot clock. Crum looks to isolate. And on the drive, he's going to get fouled by Carrillo. Carrillo not happy with that call.
He did well to move his feet. Carrillo complaining to the ref. He really didn't touch him.
I didn't see it very much, but that's going to be the seventh team foul for the Penguins, sending Crum to the line for a one-on-one opportunity. Very good free throw shooter on the season, shooting at 73%. Knocked down both of them just about 2 minutes ago. 65-54, looking to cut this lead into single digits on this trip. And the Hawks, our rival, like we've touched on all broadcasts, have kept this game close. No game is played on paper, but on paper you think that this game would be a blowout. Not today. 65-55 as he knocked down the first one. He's sporting the nice pink shoes. Second free throw, also knocked down. Both hit nothing but net. 65-56 lead, down to nine. Taplin has it as they break the press easily. Pass half court, double team. Carrillo has it. He gets all the way to the paint, decides to take it back out and chew some clock.
Smart play by the senior.
Carrillo now has it up top. Gives it off to Taplin. Carrillo gets it back. Inside to Haysbert. Haysbert over to Bates for a three from the right wing. He airballs it, but rebound Schwartz Emerson. Shot clock doesn't reset. Carrillo gets a wide open three, and he knocks it down.
Found himself open after Bates had airmailed one over the top of the rim. And that's one of those plays where, holy names, you just can't help. You can't do anything about.
68-56. Crum comes back the other way. A reverse layup high off the glass knocks it down. 68-58. 3 minutes, 55 seconds left in this game. It's going to be close. An errant pass stolen by Robinson, the last week's defensive player of the week. And coach is going to call a timeout. This game is hanging on a limb right now. It's closer than the score suggests. 68-58. 3 minutes and 50 seconds left. You never know what's going to happen in a rivalry game. We've talked about in the women's game. Some crazy things happened in that one, but the ladies were able to prevail. I'm expecting the same thing from this one.
Plenty of time left, just under 4 minutes. With the pressure that Holy Names is starting to turn up, getting Robinson back into the game, you got to be careful if you're DU. Sometimes you get a little lackadaisical when you're up by double digits. It happens in the second half. You talked about it happens in professional sports too. It happens when you're out playing one-on-one with your buddy. If you got them up big, you tend to relax. DU's got to clamp down and finish strong.
And that is why so many runs are seen in collegiate games and also professional games. Teams do get lackadaisical, like you said, and that is why the lead is down to 10 with Holy Names having the ball as coach took a timeout there to regather his team. Ong will be inbounding it on the southern end sideline. Kasem has it off the inbounds play up top. Gives it over to Crum on the left wing. Crum has had a great second half. He's trying to operate on Taplin. Taplin playing great defense. Crum brings it back out 40 feet from the basket. Gives it over to the left wing, Dalton Dale. Crum gets it back on the right elbow. 15 on the shot clock. Crum looks to isolate himself again. High off the glass. This one doesn't fall. Fight for the rebound off Haysbert. Hawks will keep the ball. Didn't hit the rim, though, so shot clock will stay at 10 seconds as we have a media timeout. 68-58. 3 minutes and 28 seconds left. And we do have Patrick Davis on the call with us alongside Swanee and myself, Mike Temple. And I don't know if you've been to too many games this year. I know this is your second game just helping us broadcast, but what have you seen from Miles Carrillo? He's been a senior leader, and he's been clutch in the second half, which we saw from that three-pointer.
I agree completely. He's been draining threes all night. He's been stepping up as a senior player as well, especially with Golston out. I think he's been a great role model for the team.
I want to ask you something real quick. You got a love for basketball. You have to. What's the background? What's your background with it, with the sport?
I played pretty much every sport as a kid, but basketball, baseball, and soccer were my main three. And in middle school, I decided to end my career in basketball, but I still play as a hobby with my friends and all that, so it's still a part of me.
How competitive for you, Patrick, is open gym? I know some open gyms I've been to, it can get pretty heated. I haven't been to one here yet, but I know back at my former college, open gym is almost as competitive as I remember playing in high school.
Oh, definitely. I haven't gotten a chance to actually come to the Dominican Open Gyms this year, but last year was really fun. I actually got to play with Taplin and Golston a little bit, so that was pretty fun too.
Nice. Get to see them. Yeah, get to see them even closer than we do here at Media Row. You get to be guarding them even. That's a nice insight from Patrick Davis. We are back here, 3 minutes and 28 seconds left in this one. 68-58, but this game will go down to the end, as it always does in the Collins Center. 10 seconds left in the shot clock. Crum trying to find someone on the inbound. He does in the left corner is Kasem. Now up top to Ong, 7 on the shot clock, 5. He tries to use a screen, forces up a lefty, 3. Off the rim, rebound, bounces away, but Carrillo ends up with it. Carrillo looking to push. He has Haysbert around the back pass, but Haysbert smartly decides to bring it back out. They didn't have the numbers.
That was well defended, too, by Dale.
Carrillo tried to pull a Steve Nash around the back pass. That one wasn't as crisp. Taplin has on the left wing, 17 on the shot clock. They are looking to milk the shot clock on every possession now. Carrillo has in the right wing, 10 on the shot clock, 2:50 left in the game. Uses a Haysbert screen. Carrillo picks up his dribble, 30 feet from the basket, gives over to Taplin, 4 on the shot clock. Bates for a 3, just in and out, rebound is on the ball. No one grabs it, and it's going to end up going out of bounds. Hawks will get the ball.
Haysbert trying to battle for that one underneath.
And they're going to call a foul on Haysbert. I'm skeptical of that call. I don't know where the foul happened there. Haysbert's thinking the same thing, as he's giving the ref a mouthful here. That's a big foul because they'll be going to the line, and that's the ninth team foul, making the next one a double bonus, guaranteeing two free throws. 68-58, 2:41. Not only is it a big foul for the team foul reason, but it stops the clock and gives them an opportunity to chip away at the lead without time rolling off the clock. Going up for a free throw is Dalton Dale. His free throw is good. Just like the ladies team, the men's Hawks team are very good from the line. We've seen nothing other than that here today. Shooting a little over 73% on this game. Dale for the second free throw knocks that one down. 68-60 lead down to 8. 2:41 left in this one.
Hawks aren't going away.
And we wouldn't
be strong with the basketball.
Yeah, we wouldn't expect them to go away, as this is a rivalry game for the Penguins. They break the press. Schwartz Emerson has it on the right wing. In no rush, they pull it back out. Schwartz Emerson doing a majority of the ball handling on this possession, gets it to Taplin on the left wing. Now Carrillo, the senior leader who's clutch, Mr. Iceman, gives over to Bates in the right corner. Now Schwartz Emerson has it back to Carrillo. Carrillo uses a Taplin pick, but nice dribble defense by Ong. He gets to the paint instead, finishes off the glass for two. Carrillo, once again, huge in the second half.
Leaning to his left, able to get it off the glass and in. Tough shot.
Big basket to get the lead back to 10. Ong looks to push, and he's going to get offensive foul as he dipped the shoulder trying to run over Carrillo and Haysbert. He's going to get called for a foul, and Penguins will end up with the ball. 2 minutes and 3 seconds left, 10-point lead. It may seem big, but you never know what's going to happen here. We've seen a lot of wacky things just this year in the Collins Center, so I wouldn't count my eggs just yet. They break the press easily. Taplin has it, gives it to Haysbert. Haysbert goes up for a dunk, but he lays it up instead. Finishes for two, 72-60.
They broke that press with ease, scored with 31 seconds left on the shot clock.
Crum has it. They need to operate quickly with only a minute, 47 seconds left. He knows that, and he gets to the line. A really off-balance shot. Didn't see the foul, but they're going to call it on Carrillo. Carrillo not happy with the refs. Again, he's giving them an earful. The refs have heard a lot in the second half, both from Haysbert and Carrillo. Crum forced up a wild shot and gets rewarded for it. He'll be going to the line for another two free throws. 72-60, 1 minute and 45 seconds left here at Penguin Radio. Radio.dominican.edu. First free throw is knocked down. Make sure you stay tuned for our next broadcast, February 13th against Notre Dame, Danny Muir, which is academic night. Expect all students and fans out here for that one in another rivalry game. Second free throw from Crum, knocked down, 72-62, 10-point lead. They break the press easily again. Schwartz Emerson has it. They're in no rush. They get trapped in the corner. Schwartz Emerson swings over, cross court to Tap. Taplin drives to the paint, and he finishes for two.
Oh, he split Dorn and Perry in midair, able to lay it in. He's so smooth when he's in the air with his body.
Crum coming back the other way. He drives to the paint again, and he finishes off the glass for two. Crum trying to do it all himself right now, keeping the team within 10. Carrillo breaks the press. Bates, nice pump fake to get the guy in the air and misses the layup, but Haysbert finishes after he gets the put back.
No easy buckets, no gimmies. Bates found that out right there. Haysbert able to put it back.
Dorn with a quick three. That one missed. Carrillo rebound. They are going to salt this game away. A minute left on the clock, 76-64. Carrillo pulls it back out. The Penguins look like they will be moving to 10-5 in conference play. Huge wins to get to double digits here with five in a row, 10-1 in the conference play after this game. I mean, in at home, 10-1 in the Collins Center. Let me make that correct for you. After this win here, 38 seconds left on the clock, 9 on the shot clock. Schwartz-Emerson picks up his dribble. He passes to Taplin, knocked out of bounds by Holy Names. Ball will stay with the Penguins, 6 on the shot clock. And the coach kicks the ball as it rolled towards him. Coach for Holy Names kicks the ball. Looks like he can make a good soccer player. Patrick will know a little bit about that. Not me, on the other hand. Ball inbounded as it's a wild throw, stole by Dante Robinson. He drives, gets fouled by Haysbert. He'll be going to line for two.
I just want to talk about Crum cupped that ball and threw it down off that miss. Just for the heck of it, the whistle had already gone. But my, oh my, him and Taplin both, they got athleticism. It's been fun to watch them.
Yeah, and you wouldn't expect it out of the guards, especially with their height. But kids nowadays, and you see it in high school games, they got bounce. That's really unbelievable, even at the guard position. Everyone wants to be that player who can dunk and who can slam it down. And you're seeing that through high school games that I watch. Kids just want to dunk, and they're really being able to now as they're training, doing a lot of plyometrics, a lot of block jumps to get that stamina from the legs and that power from the legs to jump and dunk.
You hit it, partner, and when these coaches go out and recruit, a lot of these good high school guards can dunk. Even if they're sub 6 feet, they can get up.
And that is true right now. 76-64. Penguins going to win this one as there's only 31 seconds left. Next broadcast is Thursday, February 13th against NDNU. Then they will hit the road to play one game in Oakland against this Holy Names team, and then come back to the Collins Center for their last two home games. Each game important as the Penguins will move to 10-5 in conference, only one game behind Dixie State, who they just beat last game and who will be coming to the Collins Center on the 20th.
Free throw. What's that going to be like? Oh. Dixie State in here coming for revenge.
Dixie has been ranked in the top 20 all season. They just fell out because of the Penguin loss. You know they're going to want revenge. They lost on their home court for the first time this year. That's going to be a dandy coming in here.
That could be battle for number 3 seed.
And it will be the battle for number 3 seed. And I saw on the website that the Penguins are suggesting a blackout for that game. So everyone wear black if you're coming out to that one. Should be a great atmosphere both for the players and fans. They split the free throws, 76-65. Penguins break the press. Taplin is trapped though in the left corner. Bad ball handling, but he gets fouled as he tried to do a swing through with the ball. He'll be going to the line for a 1-1. No, it's going to be the sixth team foul. 20 seconds left. 76-65. Another strong win for the Penguins. They did it in the second half today as they were only up by one after the first half, but really imposed their will in the second.
We tend to see that a lot. They come out, kind of feel out their opponent in the Collins Center in the first half, and then really get after in the second half and take care of business.
And the Penguins don't need to force up a shot here. The shot clock is off. 13 seconds left in the game. The Hawks still trying to play good man-to-man defense. Now they sag off. Both teams stand up off the bench. Good win for the Penguins here. Clock ticking down to one, and it's officially in the book, 76-65. Penguins win again, 5 in a row. Keep the train rolling if you're Coach Booker T. Harris and the boys. 16-7 overall, 10-5 in PacWest play. And it's going to be huge getting that week of rest coming against Notre Dame next week, another rival.
Great win. Take away everything from that. They played a great game, especially against a rival. I just want to hope that Devin Golston is okay. That's going to be the key if they can make a run late for the PacWest Tournament Championship.
And Devin Golston has been one of the better players this year for the Penguins and even in the whole PacWest, as he's got 4 top 5 player of the week's award nominees. That's a tough sentence to say. But he's been top 5 player 4 times already this season for each week. It's a great honor to be watching Golston. I know that he will do his best to get back on the court as soon as possible. And hopefully for us, it's just a minor sprain. You don't want to see any tears or anything else to the ACL, MCL.
Absolutely not. Especially, he's a senior. This is it. He's given it his all. He's had a heck of a year, heck of a career at Dominican. You want and you wish that he can finish it out strong.
And I couldn't have said it better myself. We'll keep you updated on Devin Golston's injury and other Penguin news. Make sure you check out the other radio shows that might be coming on the rest of the semester at radio.dominican.edu. For Mike Temple, Alex Swan, Patrick Davis, Stuart Horn, great job here today at Media Row and in the Collins Center. We'll be back with you Thursday, February 13th against Notre Dame. Danny Muir, stay tuned at radio.dominican.edu.
DU Did You Know? Brought to you by Penguin Radio. Did you know that Dominican University is